Not a sound to be heard. We pause and remember another silent key.
Victor Kilo 4 Zulu Juliet Delta. Paul Donovan, VK4ZJD, has gone silent key, passing away in Cairns Hospital Monday, March 1, following a long battle with cancer. Paul and XYL Maureen operated a business in Tully for many years, and Paul was a long-time participant of the North Queensland Net, always making it in from his QDH at Tully Heads with a strong signal, even when operating on jury rig during the aftermath of cyclones Larry and Yassi. Paul was a member of the Townsville Amateur Radio Club for years, then became a member of the Tablelands Radio and Electronics Club, and drove the long kilometres up the range to participate in all the horse endurance ride communication support events that Trek did. A minute's key down silence was held on the North Queensland Net as a mark of respect for Paul. His celebration of life took place at a memorial dinner held at the Tully Heads Tavern Friday evening, March 5, attended by family and friends. Paul's expertise and friendly voice on the airwaves will sorely be missed. Vale, Paul Donovan, VK4ZJD, another silent key.
From Queensland, this is VK4WIA and the weekly Q News Amateur Radio News Service. The text edition is available by contacting Q News at wia.org.au.
Redfest 2021 will go ahead on the 10th of April 2021. Greetings from the Redcliffe and Districts Radio Club, VK4RC, right here in southeast Queensland. Robert Thompson, VK4TFN here. Breakfast is at 8 a.m. Admission is $5. Gates open at 9. Vendor tables at $10 per table. Table bookings, email redfest@redcliffradioclub.org.au. Raffles drawn at 10:30 a.m. For more details, go to www.redcliffradioclub.org.au. We're also on Facebook. Bye for now, and 73s from the Redcliffe and Districts Radio Club, VK4RC.
From VK4WIA, this is Q News. I'm Peter, VK4YAC. In the Brisbane area, it's heard every Sunday following the national news on VK4RMC Mount Cutha on 146.650 MHz.
Hello, I'm Jeff Emery, VK4ZPP, and I've been thinking. For those old enough to remember the structures that carried the WIA name for many years, you will remember that they were known as divisions. What is now known as Amateur Radio New South Wales was then called the New South Wales Division of the Wireless Institute of Australia, and so on around the country. To manage the structure, the Federal Executive worked from Melbourne, and the VK3 division provided the people who filled the positions. This was a drain on the resources of the Victorian Division. As you might say, they were having to have volunteers to run the division and the national office. Of course, there were times when the more populous divisions felt that they should have a greater say in the affairs of the Institute, based on membership numbers. The less populated states wanted to see that they weren't disadvantaged by a voting bloc formed by the states with high metropolitan numbers. Well, you know the sort of arguments that people raise when feathers are ruffled. Now, this brings me to the forthcoming election for board positions of the WIA. We can hear and see from the biographies supplied to National News that we have some very well-qualified candidates standing this year. Professional trade and academic backgrounds are important to our amateur radio service, as the Institute engages in consultation with the regulator, Standards Australia and the International Amateur Radio Union, for starters. The WIA is a company, and our elected board members assume the responsibilities of being company directors once they are elected. This means that people who haven't filled this role in life are required to undertake training to properly run the Institute and also protect themselves, as the penalties for wrongful actions can be quite serious. One thing to remember is that the WIA represents its members, and it also carries the responsibility for speaking for the Australian amateur community when engaging with the IARU, ITU and the World Radio Conferences. Although the membership has fallen in past years, the 3,000-odd financial members carry the costs involved for the total 15,000-odd amateurs in VK. What I'm illustrating is that the task of the board member is a responsible one, and one which has to serve the diversity of the whole community, as well as the particular needs of the membership. If some of the issues that caused dissatisfaction prior to 2004, when the WIA structure changed, are to be avoided, we should make our choices of who has our vote on the basis of whether we believe that person will fairly and capably do the job that they stood for. We can't afford to have voting blocks within a boardroom. We must have directors who place the amateur community first and other allegiances second. We must have people who are prepared to work constructively to progress the work of the WIA and not just turn up for meetings. I've been speaking of the responsibilities of the directors, but fellow WIA members, the election is our responsibility, and our duty is to choose wisely for the benefit of all. I'm Jeff Emery, and that's what I think. How about you?
From VK4WIA, this is Q News. I'm Gordon, VK4VP, on the Sunshine Coast. It's heard every Sunday following the national news on our linked repeaters of 146.825, 146.850 and 146.975.
On the Q News social scene, Central Highlands Amateur Radio Club will participate in the John Moore Memorial Field Day contest next weekend, that's March 2021, and that's being held at the Model Aero Club, Mosquito Creek. Redfest 2021, April 10, as we heard this week again from VK4TFN. The Clareview Gathering, 30th of April to Monday morning, May 3. And Central Highlands Amateur Radio Club's Theresa Creek Campout is from Friday the 28th till Sunday the 30th of May at Theresa Creek Dam, southwest of Claremont. For Q News, I'm Graham, VK4 Baker Baker.
From Queensland, this has been VK4WIA and the weekly Q News Amateur Radio News Service. We thank our rebroadcast team and you for listening. And remember, internet text of this news is available by dropping a note to QNews at wia.org.au.